You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
I am Sam Tweedle.
And Chris Gilpin.
Hey, how are you guys doing? You know, it's been a while since I've been here. You guys were here last week. You guys did
yes.
A great show. I heard it. But I haven't been here for a while, and I've just been, like, itching to get back on the air and talk about comics and all that great stuff. And you guys got me at a great time, because I felt for a while there, I don't know what's going on for a few months there, and I think you guys saw it, too. I sort of started getting a little disinterested in comics. I sort of started getting a little jaded where comics were not a focus for me, and maybe you guys weren't saying it, but you guys were seeing it. Well, I'll tell you, last week, and I guess we're talking about this today, TCAF was last week,
yep.
The Toronto Comic Art Festival.
Yes.
Yep, yep.
And I went to this thing, and I absolutely fell in love with comic book medium again. So whatever was grabbing my soul, I think I'm going to be collecting differently now, but it reconfirmed me as a comic fan and a lover of the medium. So you guys got me on a great week. So yeah, I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a good time. It was packed. I don't know what Sunday, but Saturday was just...
Sunday was pretty packed. Dan, what do you think? Was Sunday...
Sunday was pretty packed, yes. Now, when we got there, it was fairly early. It mm-hmm. wasn't super packed. The main floor was pretty packed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then the upper floors weren't as packed. But it's funny because I was standing, not to use all of my stories right at once, but I was standing because the Chapter House guys were in a different area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually had to look them up to find them because I was like, I can't find Andrew Thomas. Where is Andrew Thomas? And I wanted to specifically meet Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I was like, I got to meet him. I'm looking at the map and I'm like, it's like, over there. It's not even with the rest of these guys. So I go in there and I'm talking to them, and I was actually talking to Danny Zabel. Sorry if I ruined your last name.
I gotta ask, what does Danny Zabel do?
He writes for Chapter House and he writes the Life, Death, and Sorcery.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And we're also each other's biggest fan on Instagram.
So
when I walked up, he was like, I recognize you from Instagram. And I'm like, yeah. That's cool. But so I'm standing there talking to him, and then all of a sudden I'm like, wait, we're both shouting now. And I look around and the room had gotten packed while we were just standing there talking. Because mm-hmm. when it started out, there was nobody in there. We're just talking at a normal tone.
You know, I didn't get to the Chapter House room. I barely spent any time on the second floor, and I didn't even get to the third floor at all. I don't know if any, did you guys get to the third floor?
I browsed. I walked around.
Was there a third floor? I don't know.
No, we were just on the main floor on the second floor.
You know, I barely went the second floor. And Marty, when Marty found out that I didn't, like, I barely was on the second floor, he was outraged. He was really, really, he gave me hell for not doing, I think I only talked to one person. There's one person on the second floor I wanted to find. I'll talk about that later. And then there was one person on the second floor I didn't want to see, which I
won't talk about.
I won't talk about that person at all. And but mainly everybody and everything I wanted to see was on the first floor or in other buildings, and that's kind of seems to be where I played around. I think what I said this to Marty is I think next time I'm going to need more time. You know what I mean? Like, I think by the time I got there, I was done. When I was done, I was done.
Yeah.
But I think that maybe I should gave myself more time, like maybe another hour to explore a little bit. But my God, I had a great time. I really did. I met some people whose work I admire so much that I'd never met before. I had a briefcase of books that I got every single book signed. I ran into some people that I hadn't seen in years, like creators that I'm fans of that I haven't seen for a while. And it just really reconfirmed my love for the hobby. And you know what? There's some things I thought about. I think one thing I liked about it, okay, so we all go to comic conventions, and we all have a great time at comic conventions.
Yes.
Except when we're not having a great time. But,
yes.
And we can talk about the good or the bad of comic convention, but what I loved about TCAF is everybody there was in it because they loved comic books.
Yes.
Like, no celebrity guests.
No pop culture.
No science fiction or horror. I saw a few cosplayers, but not very many. No dealers, and I kind of like that too, you know what I mean? Like that it was really people pushing their book. It was like Artist Alley, just 1,000 times more professional.
Yeah, well, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like conventions and art festivals are totally different, but you do get a lot of the same people going to the...
Yeah.
Like the big comic people will go to both shows.
Sure.
Right?
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the other show, but
yeah.
I didn't see a single person dressed up as Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Not a single person.
No, that's not what it's there for.
Not a single. I saw some cosplay.
I mean, I saw a few people kind of like Harley Quinn out on the street, but that's a whole other matter.
No, but I really loved it. I mean, I could talk for quite a while about that, and maybe I will a little bit later. But yeah, I'll tell you. I think this was my first time going to TCAF. It's something I've always wanted to go to, and it was the first time that I'd gone. And I think it's my favorite. I want to go all the time now. And the best thing, it was free.
It was free.
It was free. I didn't spend much money.
Think about, like, I think I probably spent about $50.
Me too.
Maybe if you include lunches
and
stuff.
A frappuccino.
Yeah. Maybe a little more. I went specifically looking for a few books. And then just saw people that I, you know, didn't know would be there.
Yeah,
and
me
was
too.
Was like, you know, the thing is that it's almost too much. Mm. There's almost like you're walking around. You didn't even make it up to the third floor, but you're walking around the second floor or whatever, and you're like, that guy has like a cool book that looks like it would be really cool, but I know that guy over there and I need to buy that book. So I'm going to, you know, there's almost too much to look at.
The surprises for me was the creative team behind Batgirl of Burnside was there. Cameron Stewart, and I can't remember the name of the woman who draws it.
Babs Tarr?
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. And they were there, and I didn't even know they were there. So I ran out, and I bought a Batgirl trade, the first Batgirl of Burnside trade, and I got them to sign it.
Nice.
Now, I don't know the guy's name, so I'm sorry, and I'm sorry to him. There's one of the best graphic novels I've read in the last 5 years is a book by, I think the guy's last name is Pascal, and he's a French graphic novelist from Quebec, and he does a series called Paul and the this and Paul and the that, and he wrote a book called Paul and the Scouts, and it's one of the best graphic novels I've read, and it's fiction, but it's based loosely on his own childhood. And he writes about growing up in Quebec during the terrorist, what would you call that thing? You know, when they...
On the campus, you mean?
No. You know, when they kidnapped the politicians and Trudeau shut down Ottawa.
I know what you're talking about,
but... Yeah. Anyway, I don't know what you would call that squabble, but it was a big part in Quebec history. So he wrote this book called Paul and the Scouts, and it takes place during that summer. And it's a fantastic read, a beautiful book. I didn't know he was going to be there, and there he was on the first floor, and I thought to myself, my God, I would have loved to have got this sign. So I went up to his table, and I was going to buy another copy of Paul and the Scouts, you know, and get him to sign it, and then I would have just gave away my copy to someone who might want to read it. But all he had was his French versions, because his books get translated, but there's a wait, and he didn't have any of the English versions. And I was like, ah. But that's like, again, I didn't know he was there because it's too much. You look at that list.
The list was literally, the one that I saw was literally alphabetical.
Yeah.
And I scrolled through as many pages as I could before my phone was like, no, and just went back to whatever it was doing before, because it does that because it hates me.
Yeah.
So, like, I maybe got to, like, the C's or the D's before I was like, Everybody else is going to be a surprise.
Yeah, yeah. So I hope he's there next year because I want to get those books. Hit the Paul and the Scouts. I think it's here. You got your phone out. Look that up. What's the guy's name? Does Paul and the Scouts? Take a look at that. And I should keep talking while you guys look at your phones.
You should keep talking so that the sound of the fan roaring.
Okay, so one of the guys I went and I got an autograph by was Scott.
Paul joins the Scouts?
Paul joins the Scouts. Yeah, that's what it's called. I want to say his name's Pascal or something like that. But he could be. He could be another. Anyways, I went to the room where Brian Lee O'Malley was doing a signing, and he didn't actually have a table. Of course, he's most famous for being the creator of Scott Pilgrim. And it was pretty cool how they did this. So you went over to the Marriott Hotel, which was around the corner, and they had like this room, like it was like a little boardroom or something. And they had it all set up, and the moment and they opened it up, and you went in, you got in line, and the moment that it was like a half hour, they shut the door down, the room down, so nobody more could come in, right?
Yeah.
He was just doing so many signing, and I didn't really get much of a chance to talk to him, but the room was full of kids. Like, and when I say kids, I mean like tweens to, you know, middle teens, right? And they were losing their mind over the fact that he was there. Like, they were treating him like a rock star, wanting to get their pictures taken with him. Like, I mean, he was like the David Bowie of comic artists to these kids. They were just losing their lunch.
Is that him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's him.
Michelle, yeah. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the last name.
Yeah. Well, moving on. Anyways, Paul joins the Scouts. Buy it. Anyways, it was cool to get. I didn't really talk to him too much because, you know, they were trying to move that line pretty quick. And but it was really cool to see him and get some. I got the first volume of Scott Pilgrim signed, and I got his follow up book, which is called Seconds, which is a really great book. I think they used to sell that at HMV, didn't they? I saw it there.
Yes.
Seconds, yeah.
At that company that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, and he drew a mushroom. He drew a little mushroom in the cover. That was another cool thing I found is a lot of the people were willing to draw you little drawings in your books. Most of my books came with sketches drawn right in them, which was cool. Anyway, I don't want to do all the talking because I can keep.
We both did all the talking last week. I've got nothing.
Let's talk about meeting Jason Latour.
Okay, you talk about that.
Oh my God! So we met Jason Latour.
Yep.
He was there, and I think he was probably the most exciting for me. Jason Latour is the artist on Southern Bastards, which a lot of people know is in my top three favorite books. But even cooler is Jason Latour is the co-creator of Spider-Gwen. And he drew little Spider-Gwens when he signed his books, like he would draw.
Oh, nice.
He actually, in Southern Bastards, he drew the... Have you guys ever read Southern Bastards?
Not yet, no.
I read the first few issues.
All right, well, the main character in the first arc, who... Spoilers.
Doesn't make it.
Yeah, he dies at the end of the first arc.
Yeah.
But if Southern Bastards sort of sets it up like he's going to be the main character, and then they kill him. Yeah. Like after what, six issues or seven issues? Well, he drew him.
Oh yeah.
In my copy, I don't remember the name of the character, but it's a Coach Boss is the main character in Southern Bastards, but so the guy that Coach Boss kills.
Yeah.
He drew him in my copy of that, but Jason Latour drew this little Spider-Gwen, and he's this guy from the deep deep south, and he has kind of a growly drawl. And I'm just trying to make conversation with the guy. He was nice, but I don't think he was the best conversationalist. But I said to him, you know, I love Spider-Gwen. It's one of my favorite characters from the last decade. Did you ever expect, you know, the success of Spider-Gwen? And he said, no. It was just a fun little thing. We're surprised how much it goes. And I said to him, I would love a Spider-Gwen movie or a Spider-Gwen TV show. I mean, out of all the Marvels, that is the one I think I'd love, but I don't expect it, because if Marvel is going to go so far to do a Miles Morales film but not put Miles Morales in it, okay, Spider-Man Homecoming, the Miles Morales movie without Miles Morales, we're never going to get a Spider-Gwen film. That's what I'm thinking. Well, he looks me in the eye and he says, my friend, he says, I think your wish is going to come true.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, I can't say much. But I bet you just wait, because something's in the works. So that was so cool to know that somewhere, sometime, like maybe she'll show up in the new Squirrel Girl TV series, or maybe she's going to be in the I don't know if she's going to be in the Marvel TV series, or this will be a Spider-Gwen movie, I don't know, but it does look like there's going to be a live-action Spider-Gwen something coming down, of course, according to Jason Latour. So that is so awesome.
Interesting.
Or he was just trying to get rid of you.
Yeah.
He might have been. Well, you met him.
Security. I did.
Yeah. What
did I met him, and I didn't talk to him.
Because you don't talk to people.
I know I don't.
It was so funny. So I'm there, and I'm like, I see Dan, and I'm like, Dan, what are you doing? And Dan's just kind of wandering around the Masonic temple, like, aimlessly. Like
not aimlessly. It was purposefully aimlessly.
Like he was confused. I'm like, Dan, what are you doing? I'd already been there and got all my... There's Jason Latour over there on the hat. Yeah, that's him. Yeah, go get your book signed. And it was like almost like you were trying to build you up, too. I'm like, there's nobody there. And all of a sudden, there was a woman there. I'm like, too late, Dan.
Nope, that was perfect. Because then I got in line behind her, and I didn't feel like a weirdo. And then she was the one going like, oh, I love all your stuff, and Spider-Gwen is great, and blah, blah, blah. And then I'm just like, autograph, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
And then he's like, yeah, it's not very busy. And I'm like, no, it's not. Silence.
Okay, anyway. Now, Jeff Lemire, he was there, and he writes, again, we're talking about top three favorite books. My top three books are, I would say, Walking Dead, Southern Bastards, and Black Hammer. And, of course, Jeff Lemire is doing the Black Hammer right now. And, I mean, I think he was so annoyed by me. I got there. There was nobody at his table. I walked up, and I'm like, oh, my God, Jeff Lemire, I love Black Hammer. Sure would love to buy a Black Hammer graphic novel and get that signed. Do you have any Black Hammer graphic novels? And he has, like, a table full of books.
Yeah.
Right? I want Black Hammer. He's like, I'm all sold out of Black Hammer. Well, when am I supposed to get signed? And he has a table full of books. Right? And he's like, well, there's this book. And he points out something. I'm like, what is that? He's like, it's volume two. I'm like, well, I can't buy that because I don't have volume one. I don't know what's going on. I'm looking around and stuff. He says, well, see those people over there? And there was this big table selling graphic. They have some Black Hammer. Go over there to get it. Right? So I wander over there. Sold out of Black Hammer. They don't have any, right? So I go back and I'm like, they don't have any Black Hammer books. And Jeff Lemire's like, I don't care, dude. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, what do you have that I can buy right now for you to sign? That's like, I'm not going to be confused about, like, volume one. So he gave me some Vertigo book that was a done in one, like it was a miniseries he done. Marty knew what it was. I don't know. I haven't read it yet. But so I got that, whatever it was, Jeff Lemire's Vertigo book. But I'm buying two of his books right now, though. Like, I'm buying Royal City, which I think the new issue just came out this week. And I'm buying Black Hammer, which I love. So I'm definitely supporting this guy's work. There's no doubt about that. I'm buying. And then he did Plutonia for Image last year, which I bought. So he's a fantastic... He's a Canadian guy, isn't he?
I don't know.
Jeff Lemire, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, he did the Justice League Canada briefly for DC.
Yeah, and he did that book with good.
With Gord Downie.
With Gord Downie,
yeah.
But that's right. He did the Gord. They didn't have that one there either. It must have sold out.
Yeah, it was there on Saturday.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. So he was obviously doing really well on sales because he was selling out of stuff. Apparently,
everybody, I guess, was selling out of his stuff, or they saw you coming and took it under the table.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, there comes a guy who's going to want Black Hammer. Everybody, hide your Black Hammer.
My
biggest regret was that I wasn't more organized and I didn't do a lot of research about it.
Okay.
Because I thought it was mostly independent, you know, people. I didn't realize that there was going to be a whole Image crew there.
Yeah.
Right? And I didn't realize, you know, I didn't really look at the list. I was, you know, going to see Chapter House and checking out everyone else, and I didn't do a lot of research into it, right? So I did realize that Charlie Adler was going to be there at the last second. So we're walking up to the Masonic Temple, and there's a line out the side of the building. I'm going, is that how we get in? And we're like, I don't know. So we just walk up to the front door, and we go in. It's like, okay. We look around. I didn't see him because I only had the picture from the website where he had this long hair and beard, right? So it took me a second because he shaved his head, apparently. Oh, the lineup's not too bad. Totally a Toy Story or a Christmas Story moment, right? I get in line. It's like, excuse me, sir. The line ends here. It starts there and goes back out the door and out the street. And it's like, oh, okay.
I like I got Wizard it. Of Oz. I like the Tin Man.
I like the Tin Man. But then I look at the line, and the guy near the door, he has like every single trade paperback ever published. I'm going like, yeah, I'm not, no, it's not, I'm not doing it.
Okay. He didn't have a massive lineup when we were there, but he had a lineup.
I didn't even see him.
Yeah, he was signing when we were in the Masonic Temple. His lineup wasn't huge, but he was the only person who had a lineup.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't have any of the trades. I wasn't willing to stand. Like,
I thought he was the only name there. Like, I was so stupid that I didn't do any research.
Yeah.
Because I saw Jeff Lemire, and I'm thinking, Descenders. I read that. I could have bought that with me.
Chip Zartsky was there.
Yeah, like there was a whole bunch of people.
Although he wasn't there when we were in the Masonic Temple.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah. I would have loved to have argued with him about Jughead Run. It was like, you know, the writing wasn't bad, but what the hell was up with that art? What? I know, not your fault. Not your fault.
You know, I kind of messed that up.
Not my Riverdale.
So what sort of stuff did you look for on Saturday, Chris?
I just looked at everything, like all the people in the library. Like we did the round in the temple, but it was just like, I'm not prepared for this. So
well, next year,
yeah,
you will be.
Yeah, I don't know if Image is going to be there, but
they'll probably have some other people.
I think they were pretty successful. Yeah. Now back in the 90s, I worked at a comic shop. That's where I met Chris, and I was really a big fan of Drawn and Quarterly books. That's kind of when they were in their golden age, you could call it. And my first fan expo I ever went to back in 1999 was because Drawn and Quarterly was setting up there. And that was kind of when I was into Canadian comics, I guess. Like, I guess, you know what I mean? Because it was all Canadian and it was so cool. And Drawn and Quarterly stopped doing fan expo and only does TCAF now.
Ah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And two of their biggest creators are Chester Brown, who is an award-winning comic book artist. I mean, his books don't just win comic awards, but win like literary awards. His Louis Riel graphic novel won like some big Canadian literary award, and then he did one called Pain for It, which actually is a journal. He's basically a John for prostitutes. Like he goes to prostitutes, and he wrote a whole graphic novel based on his experiences and the stories of these girls. And it was very controversial, but it won some huge awards, right? So, and then Seth, he does a book called Palookaville, and he does some different graphic novels. I have pretty much the guy's entire library. And he's now makes a lot of money. A lot of his work's actually doing, he's a New Yorker, as in the magazine, The New Yorker, cover artist. And I haven't seen this guy in about 8 years, but I'm still buying, I've been buying their stuff since the 90s. So I showed up and I had a bunch, basically all their stuff in the last 8 years, which I haven't seen them. And I felt it was so cool because I walked up to Seth and I introduced myself as Sam Tweedle. And I said, you know, I've met you before. And he looks at me and he says, yeah, I know you that. And he says, he couldn't remember my name, but he says, aren't you a writer from Peterborough?
Oh, there you go.
And I was like, oh my God, that's better than Marty gets from Richard Cumley. You know what I mean? Like the guy couldn't—he didn't know my name.
It's like Joey Jeremiah.
He didn't know my name.
I remember you,
but he did know that I was a writer, and he knew I was from Peterborough, which was great. Chester Brown didn't remember me at all, but that was cool. But I had a really good visit with both of them, and Seth drew the main characters of his books and his, and Chet Brown drew for Pain for It. He actually drew a self-portrait of himself.
Nice.
And it says, hi, Sam. And then I brought in, what was the other book by him? Another controversial book called Jesus. No, it was Mary Wept at the Feet of Jesus, where he took all the stories featuring prostitution in the Bible and illustrated them.
Right.
But he also had this theory, which had tons of notes, saying that the mother of Jesus was actually a prostitute. And which was really controversial.
Oh, just a little bit.
And he had something like, I think there was more pages explaining that theory than actual comic, you know?
Yeah.
It's a very interesting book. So it was so cool to get those autographed. But what was really cool is, of course, you bring stuff in. I bought a graphic novel about a month ago, and I was waiting to come back in to talk about it, saying, hey, this is what I've been reading, guys. Both the writer and the artist of that graphic novel were there.
Nice.
Like, what the, you know, like, which was a sheer coincidence. It's called, a little book called Soupy Leaves Home, And it's by Dark Horse Comics, and it's written by Cecil, and I'm going to say her name is Castellucci. And currently she is writing Shade the Changing Girl for DC's Young Animals imprint. Yeah. I first discovered her work when she was doing something for DC called, they used to have an imprint called Mix. I don't know if anybody remembers Mix Comics back 10, 15 years ago. No. But she did two graphic novels for DC, I would say, about 10 years ago called The Plain Janes. And that's where I first discovered her work. She's also a novelist, and I own some of her books. And so she's adorable. She's from L.A. She's so cute. She's like nerd cute. So anyway, she wrote this book called Soupy Leaves Home. And it takes place in the 1920s, and it's about a young teenage girl who runs away from home and hooks up with a hobo and goes on the hobo subculture trail. And you could tell Cecil really researched hobo culture because it's really an illustration of that. But this young girl dressed up as a boy. And it's an amazing read. The artist, which was a guy named Joe Peminetta, drew it. And Joe was downstairs, and Cecil was upstairs. And when I found the table with the, and I knew she was there, so I went looking for her. But when I found the table with all these Soupy Leaves Homes, I'm like, oh, this must be Cecil's table. And then I'm like, well, where's Cecil? And he's like, she's upstairs. And I'm like, well, why are you selling these? Well, I'm the artist. And I'm like,
oops.
Oh my god, that's awesome. So it's a fantastic book, brand new graphic novel, Soupy Leaves Home by Dark Horse Comics. If anybody's ever seen the silent film Beggars for Life with Louise Brooks, which you guys all know or don't know, I'm a Louise Brooks freak. A lot of shades of that film, but one of my favorite things. Like I brought it. It was really funny because when I got to the convention and I was talking about it, both Joe and Cecil were like, "Oh, let me sell you the new book," and I'm like, going in my briefcase, I already have the new book, you know, because it was almost like they were trying to promote it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, got it, read it, did it. Oh, yeah. They signed, the artist drew a little owl.
Oh,
I don't know why. There's no owls in the book. But he drew a little owl. That was very nice of him. So yeah, that was great. So Chester Brown, I guess I've kind of covered everybody I talked to. I didn't see Chip Zdarsky. Well, you talked a whole group. You saw the Chapter Eyes guys, and I feel like a jerk because I just finished reading the week before went all the Auric books. I finally sat down and read 0 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Is there more than 3?
Well, there's the Northern Ontario Expo mini comics.
Oh, I don't have those.
So there's 2 minis that you're missing, but 0, 1, 2, and 3 are the main ones.
Yeah, I also have multiple covers of different ones. I didn't know. I thought there was like 5 issues out because I have 5 different copies. Auric books. And I'm like, wait.
This is issue 1.
Somebody talked me into buying a different cover. And what's this?
So like I went to, my main highlight was that I was going to meet Davis Dewsbury.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was excited to meet him. I'll say he's taller than I expected.
Yeah, way taller.
I didn't expect him to tower over me. And he also had a really deep voice, and I didn't expect that. And he was just so handsome in person, in case you're listening.
He was dreamy. Just dreamy.
Dreamy. Man, when he shook my hand, it was done. But, yeah, talked to him and Andrew, and I bought the newest Auric special, the NOE special that just came out like a month ago, number 2.
I feel so horrible for not going and finding Andrew and talking to him. I think it was because I was avoiding Jason Liu.
He was right next to him.
Well, that's why. So, why was I avoiding Jason Liu?
That's probably not good.
Because
story.
So I love Jason Liu's work. I collect Human Lizard, and I'm just not used to people not remembering me. And I was introduced to Jason Liu a couple times, and then last time I saw him, I approached him at a restaurant.
Well, there you go.
And I said, "My name's Sam Tweedle, and we're Facebook friends." And he looked at me blankly, and I'm like, "Sam Tweedle. My name's Sam Tweedle." I like your stuff, Jason. You know what I mean? It was like, fine. Sam Tweedle, I have a weird name, man. The guy, no, listen to me. The guy who played Boba Fett, Jeremy Bullock, he knows who I am when I run into him at conventions. And he's like, because we, Because my name's Sam Tweedle, you know.
I'm Sam Tweedle.
I didn't want to run into Jason Liu. Now Jason Liu's going to hear this and he's going to be that Sam Tweedle, the jackass.
It's funny because I didn't really talk to Jason this time because, like, he's another one of those guys I get, like, starstruck around because I love Pitiful Human Lizard.
God, I love Pitiful Human Lizard.
And so, like, he waved at me or something. Like, he was right next to where I was standing, and he's like, hey, and I'm like, hey, gotta go. Well, so, Jason, if you're listening, don't take it personally. I'll talk to you next time. You just have to drag it out of me. Yeah.
That's right.
I'm just going to avoid
you. You got more than Jason Latour got. So,
Jason Liu and I met. We shared a moment.
Ooh.
I walked up to him at Fan Expo. I was getting some stuff for Martin. Looked just to my right, his left, and right behind him, there was a woman with a very, very accurate Vampirella cosplay. Official Vampirella.
Not Harley Quinn.
Wow. Vampirella.
Imagine women dressing up at comic conventions not as Harley Quinn.
She was like a professional cosplayer. Yeah.
I've seen the pictures.
Yeah.
Chris, we all saw the pictures.
Yeah. It's like, oh my. Anyway. So I'm sure Jason sees a lot of people that know my name, but he knows me to see me anyway.
Yeah,
so,
well, that's good.
He knows me though.
Yeah, he doesn't know me at all.
Because that's part of the reason why I feel weird. Because like at the last convention before this one, I walked by and we kind of like made eye contact, and I just kept walking. Then I came back a minute later to buy some stuff, and he's like, "Hey Dan, how's it going?" And I'm like, he must have said, "Hey man, how's it going?" Because there's no way he knows me. And then I was like, oh, it's going good. And he's like, how's the radio show? And I'm like, wait, he does know me.
You know, that's the difference between you and I. Someone knows who you are, you're all shocked. Someone who doesn't know who I am, I'm like, what do you mean you don't know who I am?
I'm Sam Tweedle.
Obviously, my ego is just off the map.
Sam Tweedle right here.
I'm so arrogant.
I'm sorry, one of my favorite moments, all-time moments of conventions is, you know, just last Fan X or Toronto Comic Con.
Oh, I love this story.
Walking along Chapter House with my parents. Yeah, this is. I look up and they're, you know, 5 feet away from Richard Cumley is Dan Collins. It's like, Dan, come over here and meet Richard Cumley.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Dan, from Peterborough.
Do you know what I think would be hilarious if that next time Richard Cumley meets Dan, he remembers him?
Yeah.
Marty will be sitting there. It's like, aren't you Dan from Peterborough? Marty will be like, it's like, remember that episode of The Simpsons, or that there's that Simpson joke that Mr. Burns never remembers who Homer is?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the relationship between Marty and Richard Cumley, you know? That's. Oh man! Oh, it was fun times. It was a great show, and as I said, it really sealed my love for comics. I don't know maybe what was going on there, but I was like, you know what? I don't need to buy all the comics every month, but I still love it as a medium. I love pictures and words put together in story.
Did either of you pick up Star Glazer number one?
No.
No, okay.
What's Star Glazer number one?
Tell us about Star Glazer number one.
Not
Chris.
Appropriate for children.
Oh, it's like The Discipline.
But it, no, I don't think it's like The Discipline at all. It's really, really not for children.
Well, neither is The Discipline. Well, Chris, what's the difference?
Pictures. I'll go with that. I'm just going to leave it at that. It did have a story, though.
Now, is this something you bought at this show?
Of course.
Okay. Was it from the show, or was it from like a booth in the back with a curtain around it?
No, they were right across the room from Chapter House.
Oh man!
Come on, Martin. You've been standing here for half an hour. Let's go.
Just buy a copy and get out of here. Stop pretending like you're not going to.
Oh man!
Other than like the Oryx stuff, I think I picked up North number 2 from Scott Sawyer.
Yes, I got that as well.
Who was literally right next to the bathrooms?
Yep.
Because I had seen him like post on Facebook, like we're right by the can, and I'm like, okay, so you know at the Comic-Con, he was pretty close to the washrooms. That's how I found him. I was actually leaving the washroom, found him there. I couldn't find him otherwise.
Right.
And then this time, I was like, okay, going to go pee, come out, and I'm like, there's the guy I've got to meet.
That's right.
And he's like literally standing right there. And, you know, I haven't read the issue yet, but I loved number 1. So mm-hmm. I'll definitely love that one, too.
Cool.
And other than that, I bought a couple of the Dime Comic reprints.
Yeah.
Featuring, was it the Dime Comic one that had the Polka Dot Pirate stories? Or was that, I bought the Polka Dot Pirate stories.
You know what? I would have loved to have got those.
You should have told me and I would have picked you up a copy.
Next time, I guess.
And then I bought Arcade, which is from, I can't quite remember the names.
I know Martin, he picked up a copy, I believe.
Yeah, so. They're members of the CCBA.
Yeah.
And
what's the CCBA?
Canadian Comic Book Alliance.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I knew what it was.
Oh, I didn't know what it was.
I was just plugging it a little
bit. Yes, okay. Just plugging it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it was great, and I can just I can't wait for next year. Like, I mean, we're all going to different conventions. I'm going to Niagara Comic Con in 2 weeks, two or three weeks, two, three. I don't know how many weeks.
Soon.
Yeah. In the next little while, you're at off to Fan Expo.
Yeah, not for a while though.
No.
And where what are you going to?
I am going to Aurelia on Sunday.
Oh, are you going to the Aurelia Comic Con?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very, very curious to see what it's
okay.
like.
I've had a lot of people, well, I guess this is news in Peterborough because we haven't been, have we been, I've had a lot of people stopping me in the streets asking me about the Peterborough Comic Con. Mm-hmm. Sam, you read comics. Do you know there's a Peterborough Comic Con? You know anything about it? And I say to them, seriously, it's going to be at the Evanridge Center. It's going to be awesome. It's just going to be me and Marty and Dan and Chris sitting yep. there. By ourselves.
That's it.
So, come talk to us. You know.
It'll be you and me in the middle.
Yeah.
Chris will have a table with comics to sell on one side, and Marty will have a table of comics to sell on the other side.
Gregory Knowles right. will probably be there selling
yeah.
comics too.
And Tony. Yeah.
And maybe Tony. But that's it. That's what it's going to be. Come to the Peterborough Comic Con. It's going to be rocking. Oh, and Neil Adams will be there.
Yeah.
No. Now, I don't want to start rumors. There is Neil Adams most likely will not be there.
Absolutely zero chance that Neil Adams will be in Peterborough.
Maybe we could get Kevin to come, though. Kevin's local.
Yeah, you could.
It'd be great if Kevin was. I didn't see Kevin.
And you know, Kevin, yeah. Like, I didn't see him at the other show either.
I didn't see him at TCAF, either. No, I visited him for quite a while at Toronto Comic Con. You know. We should talk
Kevin.
Kevin Beyonds. He was at the show with us.
Neon Black.
Oh yeah. Neon.
Remember,
I didn't
see him put Dan in the corner.
Yeah.
I think we should. You know, I think we have. Look, I don't know anything. We are okay. So, if anybody's wondering, we have nothing to do with the organization.
Yes, zero affiliation.
Zero affiliation. But maybe we should try to talk some of our people to come in to Peterborough and.
Maybe we should rent a bus and go up Friday night and pick up a bunch of people. Like, you know, maybe we can pick up like Jason Liu and he can stay at your house. And
Jason Liu can learn totally how to know stay you. At my
I hope
house.
We like scats.
Jason Liu, if you come to Peterborough and you need a place to stay, you can stay at my place. I will cook for you. And you can even have my bed. I'll sleep on the couch.
Cats may or may
the
not
cats
sleep
will,
on your face.
Will probably sleep with that's, you. Yeah, because that happens.
See, he has no control over them.
It doesn't matter if you sleep on the couch or the bed. Usually there's a cat sleeping on you, so just be prepared for that. It won't be Daphne.
And
but
Sam's rule is if the cat's on you, can't move
you can't until
the
move
cat
until
decides
the cat leaves.
To go yeah. away.
Especially if you're supposed to be working out.
Exactly.
Or exercising.
Yeah,
or going to
anything.
Work.
Maybe. All right, so I have some exciting news to talk about. Something okay. I want to talk about, and I'm waiting. Is I've been here for a while. While we were on the break, okay, they solved the mystery of the missing television in Luann.
Oh my God!
They did. Man. They did.
I didn't think we would ever find out.
And you know what it was? Hey, you guys ever seen the film Old Country? What was it? No Country
for Old Men.
Old Men. Literally, that's what it was.
You have to remind me if I've seen it once.
Well, basically, they had this whole story where, so to recap, they made Bernice like a monitor for the dorm, the girls' dorm, and the television got stolen. Now, Bernice felt that there was a possibility that Pyro, who's the emo boy that she's in love with, may have stolen the TV because his scarf was there, and then through a whole series of events found out that during the Christmas break, because it was all the way before Christmas,
well, yeah.
right, that he was actually crashing at Tiffany's room, okay? So anyways, and then they dropped the whole thing. And well, anyways, there was this whole thing where Bernice has found out that Pyro is using some sort of medication or something like that. She wanted to know what that was all about. And she ran into him. And he was looking for some notes for some class. So she had him over to her dorm room, right? But he stayed too late. Oh, so he had to sneak out of the dorm. And when he was sneaking out of the dorm, he passed a chocolate bar machine that had been smashed. And someone had smashed the chocolate bar machine and took all the chocolate, right? So he's leaving, and he gets caught by campus police. And he confesses. He says, oh, I did it, because he didn't want for Bernice to be caught, you know, being in Bernice's room, right? So anyways, Bernice, he was going to throw himself under the bus for Bernice. But then Bernice went and bailed him out and said, I'm really sorry and everything. Because he didn't steal the chocolate because he was in Bernice's room, okay? You guys still following me?
Yep. Sure am.
So anyways, they looked at the surveillance video, all right, and they found out who stole the TV and the chocolate. So they went to that person's room and caught them.
Is this going to be a shock?
And meanwhile, Pyro kissed Bernice.
Oh,
I know. But she didn't feel anything. She's been crushing on this guy for like 2 years. Nothing. Felt nothing.
The earth did not move.
But they caught the person. But here's the thing. They caught the person who stole the TV. It didn't matter because it was nobody we ever knew. The whole point of the TV was nothing. It meant nothing to the plot. It meant nothing to the end. It was so anticlimactic. It didn't mean anything.
And now you're done with Luann forever.
Well, no, but that was the same as No Country for Old Men. Like, I remember watching this whole TV plot, and I'm like, that's like the ending of No Country for Old Men. That's exactly how I felt. At the end of that, now for people who've never seen No Country for Old Men, Dan, you've seen it.
I have not seen it.
Chris,
I have,
seen
yes.
It. Okay,
been a while.
How would you describe that? Anticlimactic. It's just like, we've waited hours. I've waited months to know who stole that damn TV. Doesn't matter. It's not even the point. Not even the point. So all week, Luann and Bernice have been on a date, double date, with Piz and Jack, who are these guys from Luann's art class, and Jack's been asking Luann out a lot, and she always says no. He's like a big jock guy, where Piz is kind of like this awkward guy. So they went on this double date, and Piz and Bernice, they didn't really gel. But Jack and Luann's been acting like idiots for a week, and in the yesterday's strip, Jack dropped a bowling ball on Luann's foot accidentally, and now she has a broken foot.
Insanity.
I know, and that's now we're all caught up on Luann.
All right.
So
do you guys want to talk about Walking Dead?
Yes.
Okay.
Can we talk about Walking Dead? You've read it?
Yep.
You've read it?
Yep.
The world's
it's been
read
out
it.
For two weeks okay. now, I think.
Without a doubt, half. I think that was the last time I can remember being that impacted by an issue of Walking Dead was when Glenn had his head smashed in by Negan. But this was a better book. This was a better, it was a beautifully written issue. Does anybody want to say what
go for
what
it.
Happened?
Go for it.
Andrea dies.
Yes. Which we knew was going to happen.
Because she was bit by a zombie 2 issues ago.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The most, to me, the whole issue was beautiful. It was just Rick waiting for her to die. And those last moments, the last words and the last visit you have. And everybody had a chance to say goodbye to Andrea. And there was that one page that had all the panels of everybody doing their individual.
Yep.
I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. And each person telling them what they meant to them. And I thought my favorite panel was Negan, and he wouldn't come in the room. He was
standing in the doorway.
Standing in the doorway, because everybody else came in, but Negan wouldn't come in. And I can't remember what he says, but basically he just says, you know what? You're a badass, and I admire you. And I'm just like, holy jeez. And what a powerful issue that book was. It was, and then Andrea's eventualness.
eventualness.
it was amazing. So that's my reaction to it. What did you guys think of it?
I thought it was okay. I thought it was slow, mm-hmm. and like it was almost too much, because it was every character, every face character, having a moment with her. And I think they should have, like, interspersed something else
okay.
to make those moments more impactful. Because it felt, it just felt like it was too long and too much. Now, if that could be what they're going for. Now, the scene that did it for me, though, was when Rick was out in the group and they were all touching.
Oh, my God. That was a beautiful
moment. Rick was standing in the middle of the group and some of them were touching him and everybody else was touching somebody who was touching Rick. And that's when I got a little teary-eyed.
Okay, yeah. That was incredible.
Yeah.
Because it really brings them together as a community again.
And also the letter from Robert Kirkman at the end,
That was really a good moment. Yeah, was it? Yeah, and you know the letter pages next month is just going to explode.
Yeah, it's going to be bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. Bananas.
You won't be able to read that on air.
Yeah. No. Yeah, what did you think?
Yeah, I did find it was drawn out a wee bit too much, mm-hmm. like the end did, but it was very emotional. Christine doesn't read the book, but she watches the show, so for her, Andrea died. Seasons ago.
But see, that's always been my problem with the show.
I know.
It's the people who don't read the book and just think Andrea was some disposable character that they could have got rid of.
Yeah. Like, this is,
I showed her the
book. Me off so much.
Not to interrupt Chris, but this is also a pivotal moment in the future of Walking Dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Andrea's death. Yes. Now continue.
Yeah, so I showed Christine. I mean, it didn't mean as much to her, but still, I found it very emotional, especially at the end, like you said, where they're in the group and they got the hands on each other. And
correct me if I'm wrong, but is Andrea the last of the original characters that's not Carl and Rick?
I'd have to go back and check.
I think
of the original group, I think so.
Yeah, I think Andrea.
Or the very, very... Rick finds the camp.
Yeah.
I
think Andrea's the last. Let's put that in perspective. Rick's gone on this entire journey with Andrea.
Yes.
And now they're all dead. Everybody from that original.
Yeah. Maggie didn't come along. Michonne didn't come along till later. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, if I remember, it was Herschel, Glenn.
Herschel's from the farm.
But he's from the farm. He's not even part of the original.
Oh, Herschel. No, who was the guy that. Dale.
Yes.
Dale. It was Dale, Glenn, Andrea, and her sister. I can't remember the sister's name.
Amy.
There you go.
Oh, no. You know who else is still alive? Who's that kooky broad who was the mother of the girl that is the girl that Maggie's raising?
Oh, she's long gone in the books.
Yeah, she's gone, but the daughter's still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't think.
Sophia's
still alive. Isn't she dead on the show, too?
Yes. Sophia!
Yeah, so
we'll lump her in with Carl, though.
So Carl...
No kids.
But
kids don't count.
There were some other kids, though, in the original group, and they're dead.
You're right. That's about it.
Yeah. And then, of course, what was the name of the dude who Rick's wife was?
Shane.
Yeah. So they're all dead.
So, because Andrea was there since issue 2.
Yeah.
And what was this last issue?
What was Andrew's sister's name? Does anybody remember?
Amy, I already said that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about my cat.
We missed something.
No, Sam.
What did Carl call Andrea?
Mom. Yep.
Yeah.
In the comic.
See, and anybody, I'm going to say this, and I mean this. Any of you people who watch the TV show and don't want the comics, you don't know. The impact that Andrea has on... If you don't know the Andrea from the comics, you don't know. You are like Doctor Who fans that have never seen the Fourth Doctor. You don't know. You take your Walking Dead fan card and you burn it, man, because you don't know. You don't know.
Yeah.
Still waiting for Glenn's first... Or Daryl's first appearance in comics.
That's right.
Daryl Dixon.
Well, on the show, Andrea, it's mostly Michonne that's taken her place. Mm-mm. I guess that's really
yeah.
Like Carol was for a while taking Andrea's place.
Okay,
but as a character, as the job, the role, right? Because you don't watch the show.
I don't watch the show. Why Rick would I? Rick Andrea's and
Michonne,
not on it.
What? Rick and Michonne are together on the show, right?
What?
Yeah, spoilers.
Oh, well, there's no spoilers because I'm never going to watch
it.
So now, what do you guys think is going to happen next in Walking Dead without Andrea there?
I've always been waiting. Well, I've always been waiting for them to kill off Rick.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting for months for them to kill off Rick. And I figured that Andrea and Michonne and Maggie and Carl and Negan would become the new core group. But now that they've done what they've done, I don't think they're going to kill Rick.
I'm pretty sure this entire issue was like a reaffirming that Rick is still the leader and still going to be there.
Yeah.
So they'll kill him next issue. That would actually be great. But
there
like,
was something else that happened. In, well, it actually, it happened in the issue before, but we see the consequences in this issue.
Yeah.
Where Shelley?
Shelley, yeah.
Tried to, again, become Negan and take over and kill Rick and be, you know, get the Saviors in charge again. And Rick killed her.
It was an accident.
It was an accident, but...
But that ain't going to go over very well.
Dwight.
Dwight comes in and there's his wife dead, right? So... Yeah. And he's got the scarry face in the eyes. Looking.
He's got the stink eye at Rick.
And Dwight's a I love Dwight. Dwight's one of my favorite characters. And
we shouldn't say too much about Dwight because we know a lot that the people who watch the show don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know
you
Dwight.
You don't know Dwight.
You don't know anything.
You don't know Andrea. You don't know Dwight. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. Not my Walking Dead. Riverdale is finished for the season. They've renewed it.
Oh, you brought. I was going to throw it out
they,
there.
They renewed it.
Yeah.
I found out
the finale.
I found. You know what? Someone went online and told me everything that happened, just in case I wanted to know. I didn't want to know.
Didn't want to know.
I didn't want to know. I didn't want to know. You know what? Yeah. Oh, my God. I've been in such a good mood when we started the show, and now we're talking about Walking Dead and Riverdale, and I'm almost like, I'm just like this little ball of rage.
Nobody made you get angry at Walking Dead.
No, that's true.
But didn't you drive up to Ottawa on Saturday to go meet Cheryl?
I didn't. No, I would have loved
you sure?
to. She's a cutie.
I thought
Do you know, did you guys,
called security.
Did you guys read the latest issue of Die Kitty Die, number 3, came out as a PDF?
No.
No, I haven't read any of them yet because I'm... waiting for the hard copies.
Okay. Die Kitty Die number 3 came out. It was a hilarious issue where Kitty is trapped in a television. So she's going through, so they did parodies of Star Trek and Jerry Springer and I Love Lucy with Kitty as the character. And I was drawn in the Jerry Springer Show audience. So
I did see that.
Yeah, you look in the background and there's
is that a second appearance?
Yeah, that is my second appearance. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is I'm in Die Kitty Die number 3.
Yeah.
And I'm in Die Kitty Die Hollywood Bus number 3. So yeah, there's a whole bunch. Actually, a lot of the people that were in the panel with me are also in that panel.
Oh, okay.
Which is, it was kind of cool. It was funny. I looked at the panel. I knew almost everybody in the panel from, like, if not... the media, but somewhere else. It was a really fun issue. I love that series. That's a, but yeah. When it comes
speaking of Chapter House series, can I toot my own horn for a second?
Toot your own horn
and say that I have a Comixology credit for writing.
Yeah, it's
pretty through Chapter House.
There you go. Cool.
Aurora Man is being digitally published through Chapter House.
Nice. Awesome.
So that's pretty, that's freaking
epic.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Only the one Aurora Man. Issue 0, which is currently sold out in physical copy, so the only way you can read it now is through the digital copy on Comixology.
I got a copy.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've got it. I've got a few that I'll jack the price up when I'm famous. This is my first writing credit. But yeah, super excited for
that's
that.
Great,
and then Aurora Man issue number 1, that'll be awesome when that comes out.
Fantastic.
Yep. That's cool.
Great.
So.
Yeah.
I'm done tooting.
Okay. Cool. So I don't know too much else. I haven't been to the comic store in 2 weeks. I'm hoping to go tomorrow. And what I'm looking for right now, though, I think the bane of my existence, is the current Betty and Veronica digest. It didn't come in for me at the comic store, and it's where Betty and Veronica meet Justin Trudeau, and I cannot find it. So hopefully by next week I'll have tracked that down at a Walmart or something, and let you guys know. So
that's you've got it.
That I got it.
Hey guys, I got it. Do you want me to change the opening credits?
Yeah.
Bane of my
the bane. I mean, it's we need to change them because Chris found the comic. That's the bane of his existence.
Did you really?
Yeah.
All right, fist bump, dude. I didn't know that.
I did. Yeah.
That's great. That's a great note to leave the show on.
There you go.
Hey,
but we still got 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
What was it?
Shield number nine.
Yeah.
Did you ever say that on the show?
Yeah. It was a while ago.
Yeah, I pulled it out. Yeah, I brought it in.
Yeah, it was a week I wasn't here. No.
He had a whole like sleight of hand. He's like, hey guys, look what I've got.
And you know what?
We're like, oh my God.
I would have totally put that in my mouth. Yes. You're glad I wasn't here.
Anything I bring in now is going to have three bags on it.
So. Yeah. Right.
Of course, referencing a joke off air where Sam's like, it's hot in the studio now, so comic books are, he's going to go crazy and put them in his mouth.
Yeah.
Anyway, on that note.
On the note of Sam placing things in his mouth.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I guess we might as well just go on that.
Yeah. Okay. Talk to
okay.
you next week.
Later.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo, take three.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy, I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.